This is Peter Aylward from Southern FM. I'm here at Tidmanbilla in Canberra, and I'm speaking with Philip Clark.
Hello, Peter. How are you going?
Good, Philip. Welcome to the Space Show. Philip, you've got a history with the Auroral Tracking Station, I understand.
That's right. I worked at the Auroral Valley Tracking Station for almost its entire life. I started there in late 1966, and I was there when it closed in 1985.
Right. And what was the main purpose of the Auroral Tracking Station? I don't think a lot of people know much about that.
It's unfortunate that very few people know anything at all about this station. It was one of the biggest in the world, the biggest outside of the United States. At its peak, 200 people worked there. It could track up to 7 satellites at once. Its main job was to track Earth-orbiting scientific satellites. These are satellites that move very fast relative to the tracking station. So the antennas have to be able to move quickly. We look at these big antennas here at Tidmanbilla, and they can only move at speeds of between 0.2 and 0.8 of a degree per second. Auroral's antenna was capable of moving at speeds of up to 5 degrees a second. It could track from horizon to horizon in about 36 seconds.
Well, that must have been something to see. So how big was the dish? You say it was the largest.
The dish was a 26-metre antenna, meter. The same as the monument to Honeysuckle Creek, the same size as that, but a different configuration. And it could move very quickly to track these satellites. And even then, it wasn't quite fast enough to track some.
So, wow, that's fascinating. So, and you were involved in manned, unmanned, military, what sort of program?
No military satellites at all. Auroral was only dealing with scientific satellites, and it worked with satellites from a number of countries, different countries, mainly NASA, but also others. It was the station that tracked and was responsible for other things too, but Australia's first satellite in 1967 called ReSat. And that satellite was built in South Australia, tested at the Auroral Tracking Station, in a screened room, and nobody was supposed to go in there, so there are obviously many photographs of it in that screened room. And it was launched from Woomera on a Redstone rocket. So it was an all-Australian effort, and Australia's first satellite, way back in 1967. And Auroral tracked that one. Auroral tracked many others. As I say, in various ways, it could track up to 7 satellites at once, by radio tracking, by optical tracking, and by laser tracking. So it even had a laser tracking system.
Wow. And for those not familiar, like myself, where Auroral Valley is, could you tell us?
Yes, it's situated about 60 kilometres south of Canberra on a winding road, quite a dangerous road, which is why there's a whole chapter on just getting to work in my book, of course. Get out through Tharwa, out through the Nace Valley, over a thing called Fitz's Hill, a couple of fairly iffy river crossings, and then right at the end of the road in the Auroral Valley was the Auroral Tracking Station.
Right. Now, you've made mention of the book. I must say I've seen it, and I've actually seen the copy of it today. Very impressive. Tell us about it.
Well, I wrote the book to try and preserve the history of the tracking station, because it was called the Forgotten Station because so little was known about it. It was very important in the early days of space tracking and the pioneering of space tracking. And very few people knew anything about it. Very few people even knew that NASA had 3 separate tracking networks. There was this one where Tidmanbilla is, which was the Deep Space Network. Its purpose was to track the spacecraft that went way out into the solar system and beyond. Honeysuckle Creek, its job was to track the manned spacecraft that went to the moon. That was really its sole purpose. It was, in later life, it was for a time used as part of the Deep Space Network, but only briefly. And then there was the Space Tracking and Data Acquisition Network, commonly called STADAN. And it tracked all the other satellites, hundreds of them. On a busy day, it would do 70 or 80, Auroral would do 70 or 80 tracks a day. 10 minutes turnaround from one satellite to another. And that meant reconfiguring all of the equipment, all of the tape recorders. It was a big job. But the people did it just as routine. They just walked through it. But routinely, it tracked 30 to 60 tracks a day, every day of the year.
Now the book is called Acquisition.
Yes, it's called Acquisition, the Story of Auroral Tracking Station. and it was to record the story of this important part of the ACT and Australia's heritage and history in space tracking. It's gone now. It closed in 1985, and the people that worked there had nothing but praise for the place. If you read some of the interviews that are in the book, and even in my sheet, you'll see that they were all sorry to see it go, very sorry to see it go.
And tell me about yourself, Philip. You, I understand, came from Adelaide for a short contract and never left, is that
right? Well, that's right. I originally came over here in 1966 on a two-year contract and didn't expect it to last much longer with a very young family. And we found that the ACT region, I was living in Queanbeyan at the time, but the region here was a great place to bring up children. It was a great place for a family. And gradually the employment extended and extended. And I'm still here in 2013. So you can work out the years from that. But I was at Auroral Valley. I started there as a technician in late 1966. My official start date was actually in 1967 for administrative reasons. And I was there when it closed in 1985. I progressed from being a technician, just doing the work, to being the senior operations supervisor in charge of the tracking operations.
And did that coincide with your retirement, the closing of the facility, or?
No, it didn't. I actually went on to other things. I did a few other jobs. I worked in private industry and then spent a stint at ADFA. And while I was there, I thought, perhaps I should get some sort of a tertiary degree or qualification to bolster the fact that what I've been doing all these years, I've been doing unqualified. So I started off doing a little sort of certificate out there, which I thought would give me a piece of paper, and finished up taking a master's degree.
Wow. And so you were employed for all those years. Were you employed by NASA, the government, CSIRO, ASIO? Who was your employer?
Well, it's interesting. The tracking stations are actually NASA tracking stations, except with rare exceptions, but the ones of which we speak were NASA tracking stations. And they were run on a government-to-government agreement between the US government and the Australian government. On the US government side, their agency was NASA. On the Australian government side, initially it was Department of Supply, and later its various successors of one form or another. But they then contracted out the actual operation of the station for the people to run it and do everything to private contractors. And these private contractors worked on what was initially nominally three-year contracts. So it meant that every 3 years, basically, your employer changed. Or maybe not, but generally it did. So in the time I was there, I think I worked for three or four different employers, but in the same job. So that was the thing. Another interesting aspect is that at NASA tracking stations elsewhere in the world, NASA had some sort of arrangement where the station director had to be a NASA station director, which meant that they were a US government employee, and that the senior engineering personnel were NASA's contractors, also United States people. Then below them would be the local people employed as the technicians and other things. Not in Australia. Everybody was Australian. And that made a difference.
Fantastic. And so now you have this book acquisition. Where can people buy it? Is it available in bookshops, websites?
They can buy it from me by emailing me. And my email address is philclark@iprimus.com.au. It is available in bookshops in Canberra. One of the reasons it's not more widely available, unfortunately, is because I had difficulty in finding somebody who would publish the book. So I published it myself. So I'm the author, I'm the publisher, and I'm the distributor, and I'm a pensioner.
Well, that's a one-stop shop, if it sounds like it. So I guess if people do email you and they want the book, you might even autograph it for them. Would that be right?
Oh, I'd be happy to autograph it for them. I'm passionate about getting this piece of history and heritage of space tracking before the people, because it was so little known. And I want people to know about it. I want the people of Australia to know what this station was, what it did, and how important it was in the pioneering days of space tracking.
And this isn't just some flimsy little pamphlet. How many pages are in the book? I picked it up and it's very substantial.
Well, For a paperback, it's quite substantial. It weighs 1.5 kilograms. It's about 454 pages, I think, from memory. It has over 500 illustrations, more than 120 are in colour, and it contains a lot of personal material with interviews from former employees. And in the appendices, I've included some few remaining copies of the local magazine that the employees produced in the 1970s. The idea of that was to show they weren't just technicians, but they were people with a lot of diverse interests and skills.
Well, that's fantastic. Philip, thank you for joining us on the Space Show.